It's my game right here. I feel it. I'm telling you, I feel it. I taste it. Sometimes you be legendary right here, boy.
This is First and Pod.
They could not run the ball to save their lives in this game.
Your favorite team through a national lens.
The beauty of this podcast is that we don't gloss over anything. We do every team in every game.
Instant reaction to all the big games all season long.
The NFL never seems to let us down when we need a banger, banger.
Now, here are your hosts, Andrew Filippone, with 8-time Pro Bowl corner and 3-time first-team NFL All-Pro.
Peterson may go all the way. He will. Patrick Peterson wins it.
Patrick Peterson.
Welcome to a championship preview edition of First in Pod, the podcast that has given you analysis and breakdowns of every game every week since the start of the season. That's what we do. Download us, subscribe, rate, review. We're presented by FanDuel. Make every moment more. America's number one sportsbook. Andrew Filippone, Patrick Peterson, and our producer, James Jackson. Today, on this episode, we will go over the AFC Championship game and the NFC Championship game. James has three questions on each game that we will debate and discuss, beginning with Patriots and Broncos. James?
Let's get to the AFC Championship matchup first between the Patriots and the Broncos, because the Broncos fans had a bittersweet moment last week. They got the win, a very, very good and convincing win, but they lose their starting quarterback in the process. So Jarrett Stidham now replaces Bo Nix. First question, everyone's wondering this, how will Jarrett Stidham play this weekend?
I believe it's going to be a tall task, man. And this New England Patriots team, I won't necessarily say they always find themselves in the right position at the right time, because, you know, what if you're the New England Patriots, what better position you will want to be in, you know, in the NFC, in the AFC championship, playing against a backup quarterback. And we've seen what they've been able to do against backup quarterback teams that have not been able to, you know, be at their best. They have been able to exploit that. So now, with coming in with Stidham as their quarterback, I'm sure you may see some pressures. You may see some different things in the back end to try to confuse him, as far as when it's passing downs. But we know the New England Patriots, at least they know that they're probably going to lean on the running game more than ever, and maybe some trick plays. And we saw a little bit of that with Bo Nix when he was in the lineup, some throwbacks. You know, Sean Payton dialing up plays, get his receivers wide open. I believe it's going to be a little bit more of a task doing that with his backup quarterback. And like I said, with this New England Patriots defense, they just find a way to smuggle you in whatever areas that you're weak in. And I feel like they're going to do a great job of exploiting the offensive line of the Denver Broncos, as far as putting a lot of pressure on them to be able to protect and make some running holes for their running back by committee. So it's going to be a tall task for the Denver Broncos to try to overcome, just because of what the Patriots have been able to do all year long. And this is their first time going into this ball and into the season, into the most important game of the season with their backup quarterback. So there's a lot of unknowns going into this ball game. Yeah, we know the Denver Broncos defense is high power. They can get after the quarterback. But I think that they're going to have to do way more than enough. They already struggle with getting turnovers. I believe they're going to have to get turnovers to shorten the field for this Denver Broncos offense in order for them to get put points on the board, because I don't believe they're going to be able to drive the ball consistently on the New England Patriots. So, again, it's going to be a tall task for the Denver Broncos and Sean Payton and Stidham as a quarterback. The defense is going to have to rise to the occasion. There's no room for error, and they have to make sure every second, every first down, every blade of grass, all of that matters, because you're going in this game playing with your left hand.
So let me start by saying there's a lot to unpack on this, but let me start by saying I do not think he's going to play well. So I'm going to just interject my opinion first off here. I do not think he's going to play winning football here. He has not taken a snap really all season. He's only started 4 games. He's a former third round pick. He's been around a while. He's, for the most part, when he's been called upon, they've been in very low pressure situations where he played late in the season, and not in situations where late in the season, meaning like we got to win these games to make the playoffs, more garbage time starts. Did that late with the Raiders, which is a little bit ironic because Josh McDaniels, I believe, was his coach, and now he's going to be the offensive coordinator on the other sideline. And he's put up numbers. You know, in that way, it reminds me a little bit of Matt Flynn, Pat, where this guy's played, and he's played in games that really didn't matter. He puts up big numbers, and, like, some people got excited about it. And Sean Payton went out and signed him on the first day of free agency a couple years back. So that goes to show you how much, like, he valued him as a quarterback in this league. So I don't think he's going to play well. I think Christian Barmore and Milton Williams now inside for the Patriots have been excellent. And that's, you know, pressure up the middle, I think, is a doomsday scenario for most quarterbacks, unless you're very, very mobile. And Stidham's not as mobile as Bo Nix, even though I did see in high school when he was in Texas, in the state of Texas, he was rated a better dual threat quarterback than Kyler Murray, which is funny. Thinking about like Kyler's game compared to this guy. So I don't think he's going to play well. However, I will say these things just for, I guess, just to make this a well-rounded discussion. I think it's interesting how much the Broncos seem to compliment this guy and praise this guy. It almost makes me feel like internally they don't think there's much of a drop off. When Brock Purdy got hurt and Sam Darnold was the backup in San Francisco, I remember thinking, like, maybe there are coaches there who secretly think that Darnold's actually better than Purdy. And this made me think the same thing. Like, maybe there's actually some coaches there who secretly think that Stidham does some things better than Nix. And one of the things I've heard is that they think he can process the game faster, where from the pocket, he can go through his reads and make quicker throws. Nix is a guy that still wants to kind of get out of there and make improvisational plays with his legs and stuff. So maybe the offense will be a little bit more on schedule. We'll see. I mean, that's, they haven't seen it in a real game scenario before. So this is just projecting from practice and the preseason. Like, they've given him a nickname. He calls himself Stiddy. He gets up there. You know, he's a vibes guy that's acting like he's either the class clown or like the president of the locker room. So they rally around this guy. And so it'll be interesting if that carries over at all to the game itself, because we've seen Nick Foles go in and play great as a backup. We've seen Frank Reich go in and play great as a backup way back in the day. But I mean, Pat, you were on a team that had this happen. Drew Stanton had to start a playoff game, right? And it was a complete, was it Stanton? Who was it?
No, actually, it wasn't Stanton. Stanton got hurt too. It was, Ryan Lindley, I believe. Yeah, Ryan Lindley.
Yeah. Okay. So you've been on the wrong side of this before. So it's one thing to say, like, the game plan doesn't change, the offense doesn't play change. Well, when the bullets start flying, we'll see. But they seem to be, like, for example, if Stafford got hurt or Drake May got hurt, I think those two teams would be screwed. They're trying to act like they're not screwed with Jarrett Stidham, and I find that hard to believe.
Yeah, me too. They're screwed.
P2 says, from experience, I see right through it. They have to say, this is all coach speak, huh, P2?
No doubt about it.
From Stiddy. I don't mind the nickname, though. That's a little bit of confidence running them out there.
You got to play well, though, to get a nickname. You know?
That you do.
They're trying everything, man. They're just trying to show him that he can do it. Run him out there with a
little. You know, if P2 was a fifth string cornerback, I don't think anybody would call him that. He'd just be Pat.
Yeah, I agree.
He'd just be Pat.
Right. Just Patrick.
Well, let's go now to another matchup. It's the Pats O-line versus a Denver Broncos defense who ended the regular season with 68 sacks in the regular season. So the Pats O-line struggling. Their first-round pick, Will Campbell, has had his ups and downs this season, battled injury. He's also battled some bad play. So how do you see this matchup going? Will the Pats O-line hold up against that Denver Broncos defense that led the NFL in sacks this season, Pony?
I think this is where the Broncos have to win the game. I think they need to dominate this matchup. If they don't, then I think New England's going to win another playoff game by double digits. And they won against Houston by double digits, and they won against the Chargers by double digits. And they were able in both of those games to overcome this area of the game, which was a weakness for them. They did not win the line of scrimmage offensively against the Chargers or Texans, especially not against the Texans. Mm-mm. And I agree with a lot of the sentiment that's out there that had the Texans just gotten average quarterback play from CJ Stroud, we'd be talking about a Texans Broncos AFC championship game right now. So the players in terms of their pedigree, like obviously Will Anderson is viewed as an all pro. Benito doesn't have the same, draft status, and people didn't view him the same coming into the league, but the guy's got 14 and a half sacks. Campbell has been awful, I think, as the number four pick. Sorry to your LSU buddy, Pat, but he has really, really struggled in these playoffs. Maybe the injury is the issue. I don't know, but they got to give him help in this game. The left guard is a rookie, too. I think that's partially the problem. He doesn't have a veteran playing next to him. So that left side of the Patriots offensive line, the weak side protection, the blind side protection for Drake May is a big question mark here. And my ultimate feelings are if they don't win the Super Bowl, meaning New England, this is going to be their undoing. This is going to be where they end up coming up short because it creates a favorable matchup for Denver. Even when you have an MVP caliber quarterback, this offensive line not being able to protect him. We saw the Chiefs lose the Super Bowl and get blown out in one last year because of this. So to me, if Denver's going to win the game at home with a backup quarterback and do what they did when they won the Super Bowl in 2015 and carried Peyton Manning's old ass to a championship, they got to win this matchup right here. And they got to win it decisively. And I actually think there's a chance they do in this game, Pat.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%, Pony. The defensive line for the Denver Broncos have to put their fingerprints on this ball game early and often just because of, like you just alluded to, the New England Patriots offensive line is probably the weakest unit on their football team. We saw the Chargers being able to get out the Drake May, get some licks on him. We saw what Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter in that defensive line for the Houston Texans was able to do, you know, on a consistent basis, play in and play out. When there was passing downs, Drake May had no time to drop back comfortably and deliver the ball down the field. You know, there were some times he had opportunity to move in the pocket and, you know, and elude from the pressure and deliver some nice balls down the field. But for the most part, he was running for his life, you know, for the most part of that ball game last week. So, like you said, the Denver Broncos want to win this game. Benito, Zach Allen, and the crew, they're going to have to be game wreckers just because of what this New England Patriots offense is able to do. Because this is probably one of the more well-balanced offenses in the playoffs as well, because they can run the ball, they can pass the ball, and they have a quarterback that's athletic, that can pick up those that you have to account for as a defense for as far as his legs. You know, so the defensive line for the Denver Broncos have to be big, and they have to be big early in this ball game to let the New England Patriots know that if you allow this to happen, this is going to be a long game for you, and Josh McDaniels and Mike Vrabel are going to have to help out that left side of the line with some chip blocks and some extra O-line or tight end packages to try to deviate this pass rush that the Denver Broncos are able to provide.
As the Broncos are ready to stampede, got to see if the Patriots are ready to defend it. All right, gentlemen, let's put it on the line now. Who will represent the AFC in Super Bowl 60 in Santa Clara? Will it be the number one seed Denver Broncos, or will it be the number two seed New England Patriots? Pat, your pick.
Well, when we first started the playoff picture, I had the New England Patriots going all the way against the Chicago Bears. Obviously, the Chicago Bears got knocked out last week. So I'm sticking with my New England Patriots to continue to tally up playoff wins and march right on into Santa Clara to play the win out of the next game.
All right. So I also liked New England to get to the Super Bowl and win it when we started. And it would not make a lot of sense for me to deviate from that now. So this is going to be my best bet. I'm going to take New England -4.5. I think even with some of the things that can go wrong for them offensively because of their line and because of Denver's pass rush, I just can't bet Jarrett Stidham to get to the Super Bowl. You know, no offense to him, but he's coming off the bench cold. And all right, Philip Rivers came off the bench and didn't play for 5 years and at least didn't look like a complete joke at quarterback. This is such a high-pressure situation. It's the guy that may, other than Matthew Stafford, be the MVP or best quarterback in the league this year versus a backup quarterback. And so I'm going to go with that guy, especially because I don't feel like Denver's entire team is that much better than New England. They probably are man for man, but I don't think it's a huge gap, which is interesting because we went into the year thinking that New England was not anywhere close to a total team, that they were a Drake May-led team. But I think defensively they played a lot better than I thought. Those free agent moves and pickups they made in the offseason, Carlton Davis at corner two, had big plays against Houston, have helped a lot. Robert Spillane at inside linebacker, Mike Vrabel guy, former Steeler. And Denver just all year to me won games by the skin of their teeth. And that was with Bo Nix at quarterback. And he was really the guy that won them a lot of games late. And now he's out of the lineup, which leads me to believe that New England's going to find a way to win again. I think low scoring. So my final score in this game is going to be Patriots 20, Broncos 10.
I forgot we was doing the best bet since we only have two games left, but I'm going New England best bet as well.
My pre-playoffs pick was the Broncos to go to the Super Bowl.
And?
You know what? Why jump ship? Someone's got to be
confident. A lot has changed, though, James.
There's a great
reason. Yeah, a lot has changed, though, James.
Someone's got to be confident and steady. I got nothing to lose.
Steady.
Let's see if he gets it done.
Steady's going to be called shitty if he's, like, sacked four times.
I don't think anyone's going to be upset. Even if Jarrett Stidham goes on and have a bad game, I don't think everyone's going to be, like, super upset or super surprised. Like, hey, he came off the bench cold, gave it his best shot. We'll see what happens. We have an NFC matchup too, an NFC West showdown for the NFC Championship game. The Rams go to the Pacific Northwest to take on Sam Darnold and the Seattle Seahawks. A familiar foe for Sam Darnold. We'll get to that in a second, but let's go to the Rams first because they barely escaped the Windy City. A tremendous game in the divisional round against the Bears. A game in which I actually didn't know if the Rams were going to make it out as victors, and they did. So how do you feel, Pat, about them coming into this game after really, like, escaping the Chicago Bears and Caleb Williams?
Well, first of all, I told you that the elements was going to give that high-power offense some problems just because they're used to putting up points inside of a dome. They play out west, so there's no real weather situations that they really have to deal with. So now when you have to play in the elements as a high power offense, you technically are playing with your left hand because now you can't dial up the plays that you're accustomed to dialing up, those deep overs, just those straight up go balls. Now you have to methodically move the ball down the field, rely on your running game, rely on your timing routes, you know, your three-step drops and things like that, just because of what the element is able to provide. And it's going to put, you know, worries or doubt in your coach's, you know, play caller's head to doubt these big plays just because of what the wind can do, the snow, this, that, and the other. So, yes, you're right. They did escape, you know, that ball game. And Matthew Stafford didn't play his best ball, you know, missing 22 passes in that ball game. But that was something that I was expecting to happen. No touchdowns, no interceptions. Play, you know, responsible football. But, you know, not, you know, I won't necessarily say not winning football, but not Matthew Stafford, you know, football. When you see a Matthew Stafford game, you're used to seeing, you know, two, three, four touchdowns, you know, obviously knowing it's not many interceptions and a completion rate, you know, way better than what it was last week. But I do expect them to come into this ball game and play a lot better. I don't think, I know it's going to be a little cold, but it's not going to be, you know, Chicago cold. You know, this is a divisional opponent, so they know this defense very, very well. They had an opportunity to play this team, you know, twice in the regular season. The last time they played was in Seattle, and they put up, you know, quite a bit of points. You know, so they can, you know, we know what this offense can do. And I believe that this is the game that's going to have Sam Darnold. He has to play his best football, and he's going to have to play football. I believe this game he's not going to have the luxury to rely on his defense to score. I just don't see that happening. It's possible, but I don't see it happening against the Rams offense. I believe with the Rams offense, how high powered that they are and the points that they can put on the board, I believe Sam Darnold is going to have to show up. And this is the moment that he's going to have to arrive to, you know, because, yes, he had an outstanding regular season, you know, statistically had an okay playoff run, only played one game. The numbers wasn't really there because he really didn't have to do anything much. But I believe this game right here, this is going to have to be a Sam Darnold game to see if he really has taken that next step in the playoffs, because that's where you really get an opportunity to earn your name.
I had somebody who plays in the NFL on a team that goes up against the Rams twice a year make this observation and have this theory on what happened to them offensively against the Bears. Pat, this is a little bit crazy. Tell me if you agree with this, but hey, sometimes NFL guys think outside the box.
Okay.
His take was he thought the cold affected McVay. He thought the weather and the elements got McVay out of his like play calling comfort zone. And because he isn't necessarily even used to being outside in those elements doing his job, that it affected him. Because this person's take was, why are they still dialing up so many down the field, long developing passing plays when they're not working? He's like, the sequencing and setting up of plays was so unlike anything he had seen from the Rams all year. And he's like, who else do you blame for that other than McVay? That's his job. He's calling the plays. He's in charge of that. So that was his take, which I thought was interesting. Like, we think about weather affecting players. I guess weather can affect coaches and refs too, don't you think?
Man, that can be a very true statement, because I said that, like, as a play caller, like, your whole approach to the game has to change because the footing is not the same. There's snow on the football, so you're not going to be able to throw it as far. There's so much that goes into when there's elements involved in the game as far as how the play caller wants to call the game. You cannot call the game how you normally call the game when you're playing in St. Louis, in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
It's just impossible just because of you're not going to be, like you talked about, long developing plays. The receivers are not running as crisp. They're not running as fast. Guys on the back end, obviously, they know that it's hard for you to do certain things, break, and come in and out of your break. So therefore, they're already guarding the deep shot, because that's what you guys are known for. So you guys haven't shown us anything different. So why play anything different? You know, so like I said, the elements can definitely play a role. And that's why I always felt that, you know, the Rams was one of those teams that, you know, when they do get into the elements, it can be kind of sticky just because of how they play the game.
So he was critical of the Rams coaching in this last game. I feel like they have not put together like a championship caliber game yet in the playoffs. I felt like offensively in the first half, they were really good against Carolina. Mm-hmm. Then they didn't get that fourth down. And then really they didn't pick it up again until they needed those drives at the very end of the game. Defensively, they really didn't play well either against Bryce Young and the Panthers deep offense. Jalen Coker went crazy against them. In this past game, I thought their defense was way better. Other than that, you know, completely miraculous play by Caleb Williams at the end of the game, that 50-yard pass on, you know, when they needed 14, that their defense played way better, I thought. I was shocked by how well their defense played. Offense was really hit or miss and struggled for most of the game.
Yeah.
So they have not, to me, looked like the best team in the playoffs yet. Maybe playing Seattle a third time will bring that out of them. But I didn't think LA was playing great football even going into the playoffs, and they got beat by the Falcons in Atlanta on that Monday night. So I'm still kind of waiting for them to get back to the team they were around like Thanksgiving time, when everybody thought that they were a slam dunk to get to the Super Bowl and they were the best team in the NFL. They have not been that team for a while, and it's not even like injuries are to blame. They haven't lost.
That's what
guys.
I want to say.
Adams is the only guy really that's been banged up. And that's another big question mark for this game. Like, to me, did make some, that one throw he had late in the game to set up the field goal, that sliding catch by that really tough throw by Stafford to fit it in there to him was a really nice play. But other than that, he's had a pretty quiet run here since returning. And we'll see if that changes against Seattle, because they'll need him.
Yeah, I'll probably say on the defensive side of the ball, the biggest takeaway, I believe, they started to let teams run the ball on them. And the secondary just have been having way too many letdowns and giving up way too many explosive plays.
Yep.
And they haven't really been getting after the quarterback like they was early on in the season as well with Young and Versus. So we have to look into that, you know, as well, because the last – I would love to know what they have the last six games, how many sacks that they had an opportunity to accumulate. But the sack numbers and allowing teams to run the football and giving up explosive plays typically is a recipe for not good defense. And that's what's been happening, in my opinion, over the last month and a half, just way too many explosive plays on the ground and through the air. So if they want to get this thing, you know, going in the right direction, they need to be on their P's and Q's for this last, you know, for this last pretty much game before, well, not pretty much, the last game before the Super Bowl.
We'll see if the Rams can put it together after what was a very good win in Chicago. And now let's go to the Seattle side. More importantly, Sam Darnold's side, because he's played Ghostbuster for a lot. I think he's answered a lot of questions, but one team still haunts him a little bit. Last year, the Rams got him a couple of times and ended his good season with the Vikings. He has a chance to get a get back. Never too late to get a get back. So how do you feel, Pony, about Sam Darnold kind of getting his revenge against the Rams on his way to maybe punching a Super Bowl berth?
Well, I feel a little bit better because of the things that Pat just said about the Rams defense. Now, I did not think that he looked like a guy against the 49ers that was really hampered by that oblique injury. But they didn't ask a lot out of him. He didn't need to do much. I think he threw it maybe, 17 times total?
17 times, I believe.
In that game, yeah. So there wasn't a lot put on his plate. So to me, that's still a little bit of a mystery going into this game. Sam Darnold is lucky that his defense is what it is and that he's got Jaxon Smith-Njigba at wide receiver, because he ended up leading the NFL this season when you tally up interceptions and fumbles. He turned the ball over more than any quarterback in the NFL. Mm. That's why Seattle's turnover differential, their plus minus, isn't really good at all. And that's such an anomaly for a team that is the number one overall seed and hosting an NFC championship game. So we've seen him. They lost a game to LA. The first game they played, they lost because he threw four interceptions. That old Sam Darnold came back out. Now he quelled a lot of that with how he played in the second half, the fourth quarter and overtime against the Rams in that Thursday night game late in the year that catapulted the Seahawks to the number one seed, as it turned out. But man, I don't think that he's completely over it. Like, if we come back and do our post game recap to these games and we're talking about Sam Darnold having like lit himself on fire in this game, that would not shock me, Pat. Like, I'm worried about that as someone that's been supportive of Seattle and picked them to go to the Super Bowl before the playoffs started. Like, I'm worried about his mental headspace for this game, his confidence, because it's one thing to beat him in December. Now you got to beat him in January. And the last time you saw him in January, he played so bad, I think that was the reason why Minnesota didn't give him a new contract. I think he punched his ticket out of there with the way he played against the Rams in the playoffs last year.
Yeah, and like I said early on in the show, this is where you have an opportunity to build a name, you know, for yourself, and also put some of those things that happened last year behind you. You know, now you plan up against a team that you arguably played some of your worst football against in the playoffs. You had opportunity to rewrite that ship in the last meeting between the Rams towards the end of the season. Obviously, some fortunate, you know, felt your way for just in order for you guys to come out in that ball game. But now this is the biggest game of the year, third time against your divisional opponent. How are you going to perform? You're dealing with injuries. How are you going to be able to overcome that? The team haven't been asking you to do much. You was 12 for 17 for 121 yards last week. I believe over the last five games, Sam Darnold only threw, I want to say, two touchdown passes. Don't quote me on that, but I know the number is very, very low. But that's going back into my point to where Sam haven't been asked to do much. The defense pretty much been carrying the weight for this team for the last month and a half. Can they do it again against this high power offense, Los Angeles Rams? I don't think they can. So Sam Darnold, again, he's going to have to play his best football. He cannot come into this ball game turning the ball over in the first quarter and getting behind on the scoreboard early, because we have not seen, you know, well, we've seen it once against the Rams. That was a big meltdown by them, allowing them to come back in the fourth quarter, you know, being up 14, 15 points with 7 minutes to go. Special teams kind of helped got the St. Louis, the Seattle Seahawks back into it. But for the most part, again, Sam Darnold wasn't asked to do much. So in this ball game, man, it's going to be very, very interesting to see how Sam Darnold perform, just because of what the Rams defense have been providing for the last month and a half. Sam Darnold haven't been playing his best ball the last month and a half. And his last game that he just played, reportedly, when we just first heard hearing about the oblique injury,
yeah,
he hasn't been asked to do much at all. I believe Sunday he's going to be asked to do a whole lot, and it's going to be interesting to see how he answers the bell.
He's got a couple more big questions to answer. One possibly this weekend, and one possibly in Santa Clara if he gets there. So, Pat and Pony, now let's predict the NFC Championship game. Who goes, Rams or Seahawks?
What's the line here, Pony?
2.5.
Seattle. This is my underdog. I'm going with the Los Angeles Rams to win it. I believe they understood that they allowed one to get away from them the last time they played the Seattle Seahawks. This is a divisional opponent. They know each other very, very well. So this is not like a Green Bay Packers or a Tampa Bay Buccaneers going into the 12th man with a lot of unknowns. They know what the environment is going to be. They know it's going to be very hostile. They know that it's going to be hard to hear. So they're going to be accustomed and used to what the 12 is going to bring. I just believe coming off of that game last week, Sean McVay and Matthew Stafford is going to have something to prove. You know, this is probably one of the fewer games that we've seen Matthew Stafford come out of with no touchdown passes. So yeah. I know he's going up against a very, very high power defense, a very, very sound secondary, but he picked them apart before. And I could see him picking them apart again. Matthew Stafford is going to have a big game. I believe he throws more than two touchdowns, and he's going to continue to apply pressure on Sam Darnold to force him to play his best football every single possession, because that's what I believe what the Los Angeles Rams offense is able to provide. And now the defense, we talked about the questions that they have that we have about them, far as the secondary and giving up too many explosive plays on the ground and through the air. I think they mitigate all of those big plays Sunday, a championship Sunday against the Seattle Seahawks. And I like the Los Angeles Rams to win this ball game by 7 points. 21-14 Rams.
So my official pick is going to be Seattle, because I picked them to go to the Super Bowl, and I don't want to change that. I think that their defense will end up winning them the game with Leonard Williams and Ernest Jones and Devin Witherspoon. So that's my official pick. But this will also be my underdog pick. I will take the Rams for upset special purposes because I have to make an upset pick and I wasn't going to pick Denver. The one thing about the Seahawks defense that they did not do in these two previous matchups was sack Matt Stafford. He was not sacked a single time in those two games. And if that happens again, if we look at the stats after this game and Stafford has, you know, zero, they've got zero sacks on him, very few pressures, very few quarterback hits, the Rams are going to go in there and win this game. So I'm picking Seattle officially, but not with a strong degree of confidence because of Darnold, because we've seen Stafford deliver in these moments, and it is not going to be a weather game at all. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be rainy. It's not going to be cold. It's going to be a pretty like basic kind of January day in Seattle where the temperatures are like in the mid 40s with no rain, really very little wind. And so to me, that kind of plays into LA's hands more with their passing game and Matt Stafford. And that's why I give them a real shot to win this game and get to the Super Bowl.
Sticking with both my picks, man. I had Rams Broncos. I'm staying with Rams Broncos. See, Rams were my Super Bowl winner, so let me stay with them, see if they can get there. LA to Santa Clara, man. Book it.
All right. Yeah, because James is still alive. James is still alive. I'm still alive for my Super Bowl matchup. And yep, Pat almost got his Bears.
Yeah, almost.
Pat needed the Bears to go for two after that
touchdown.
Which, in hindsight, they probably should have. All right. Thanks for watching another episode of First in Pod, where the podcast that does every game every week will be back to break down the championship games. For James Jackson, Patrick Peterson, I'm Andrew Filippone. Thanks for listening.